You're listening to DraftKings Network.
OG.
Make some noise.
Hey, this is Alexi Lalas. There is nobody in U.S. soccer that is more important than the Cooligans.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah! What's good, everybody? Hello, look at this. A nice little surprise drop into your Friday Cooligans episode.
That's right. We mess up your Wednesdays, and now we're messing up your Friday and your weekend.
That's right. You're gonna find yourself, in the fetal position in the corner of a room in your apartment, and that's the Cooligans, baby. That's the effect we got on you.
That's that Cooligans effect. You're on the floor. You're sucking your thumb.
That's right. Crippling depression. Okay.
Yeah. Only we can give that to you.
That's why you come here. That's why you listen to this show, okay? All right? It makes what you already got worse, okay?
Welcome. We build ourselves up while we bring you down.
Okay.
I'm so happy, man. We had I've listened to it twice, our last episode. It's quite possibly my favorite episode we've ever recorded.
Wow, you listened to this? That's crazy.
Yeah, dude, honestly, first time, and you know what? I kind of get it. I get why people are listening.
Yes, it's weird given the stuff that it's difficult for me to be involved in, like, creatively in something I make, and then also be like, yo, this is good. I'm just like, I make it and I'm like, man, I'm the worst at everything. But I'll be honest, this week, the episode that we did during the week was, I genuinely just had fun. I just had so much fun recording it. And I think that's the thing that is, one, memorable for me, and then also the thing that is that people connect to. They're like, oh, these guys are having fun. So this must be dope.
We got a lot of like responses from that episode of just people saying, just sort of shouting back some of the things we said. When we went to NYCFC's office, for a little meeting about how much money they're going to give us, right? We're opening our own oil field, my guy.
Exactly. Yeah. With CFG directly. They're like,
exactly.
Yo, give me the bank transfer numbers, because we're trying to get you a lot of guap.
Right. And I was like, yo, could you move your helicopter over on the helipad? And CFG's like, oh, why are you landing your own helicopter? I'm like, no, I'm going to steal yours. How else are we getting this oil money?
We
had a meeting with them.
We did.
We walked in and we walked past some of the folks working in the office. And yo, it felt like superstars walked in.
Well, it was funny because there was the one dude,
Prospero,
Prospero. Shouts to him because he. I think when we walked in, he was listening.
Yo, shouts
to
us for walking in there.
I think that's oddly become this could become the new slogan for this show. Shouts to us.
Shouts to us.
But we walked into the office, and I think he was listening to the show when we walked in. So it was like kind of trippy for some people.
I walked in first, and his eyes like lit up, like, yo, the voice in my head is in front of me right now. And he was like, yo, is it you? And I was like, who's me? You know, because I don't know if he's like, I'm about to serve you with papers. You know what I mean? You never know.
Yeah.
I'm like, who you think I am? Let's start there. And he was like, yo, you Cooligans. He's like, I'm listening right now. And I was like, yeah, what's up? He's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I just came to, meet with some people. And he was like, oh, man, thank you so much for coming here. I was like, I listen all the time. And he was like, and he kind of paused and like big smile. He goes, yo, shouts to us. And I was like, yo, shouts to us. It was so wild. And then when you walked in like 5 minutes later, we were in an all glass office. You could see how excited he was that you were there. It was like I felt like we were in an aquarium.
Yeah, that was it's nice to, you know, because like you know, we record the show in a empty studio. No, we don't know what people are, what's resonating with anybody. So then when we go out amongst the people and people are fans of the show, it's a nice feeling. So that's I'm glad. I mean, not only did that happen, not only did, you know, I guess arguably one of the best episodes we've ever recorded, but then the next morning, Alexis, we get verified.
Bruh. I think they were listening to the show.
They were listening to the show. They were laughing so much. They're like, yo, they're telling us right there. They're saying shouts to us about how great they are. I think we should be verifying these fools, because this is it's been long overdue.
The Twitter verification team was like, yo, shouts to them.
Shouts to them. But yeah, you know what? Thank Cooligans. Thank you for reminding us to shout you out, because you guys been doing some great work. So,
bro, we got, and by the way, people have messaged us. Some of our friends in soccer media have messaged us. Yo, how'd you get verified? I've been trying. Dude, we don't know.
We have no, dude, you know how many times we got rejected? For literally like 2 years, when we were interviewing players, we're like, all right, you know, maybe we're a real thing in the soccer landscape. Maybe we should be respected a little bit, you know. I mean, crazy of us to even talk that way, because that is, I mean, just really outlandish. But we were trying. I was trying. I was hitting Twitter up, and we were trying everything we could. And they were just like, no, who are you? You know, new Twitter, who this? It, literally. Yeah,
nah, son. We don't know you like that.
Yeah, it was a shock to us. It was a surprise. We didn't do anything in particular outside of just getting rejected several times. And then woke up one morning, and then boom, they were like, yo, y'all doing the right thing. I don't know if it was Ali Krieger. I don't know if it was Jermaine Jones. I don't know if it was Kyle Martino. You know, we were talking to him about his quest to get verified on Instagram. I don't know what happened, but somebody that, you know, the street is talking about the Cooligans.
Somebody at the top. Made it. We pushed a button, and here we are. I think, honestly, I think dead ass. I think the most important person we've ever interviewed. I think the funniest person we've ever interviewed. I think the one person I would immediately hand a third mic to if they ever wanted to become a member of Cooligans. I think Ali Krieger made a phone call. I think Ali Krieger two-footed somebody.
Yep, that's right. She two-footed Jack at Twitter and was like, yeah, yo.
Exactly. Yo, she might have two-footed Zuckerberg, and he's like, I got nothing to do with Twitter.
But that's just a warning out to Jack. To like, make sure.
Call your boy.
Because we know you all in some group chat together, so you better right? do the right thing. And give these.
At your next Bilderberg meeting.
Okay, your Skull and Crossbones seminars. All right, we know.
We know what's going on. You better tell them.
So
Cooligans best be verified. So, yo, we're verified. We don't know none of y'all. Although I'm still your boy, because I'm personally not verified. How the hell am I hosting a verified podcast with a verified co-host? And I'm not verified. I'm me.
I think the bigger question really is, how is Christian Polanco of the Verified Cooligans podcast, of his own verified Twitter account, doing a podcast with some dude at Not Alexis? I don't even know if this is the real Alexis or not, because this is, I mean, it's really, I'm doing you a charity by even allowing you into this podcast.
Bro, this should be tax deductible for you. This is clearly charitable work. You out here doing podcasts with unverified motherfuckers.
I mean, the kindness of my heart to really give back to the community is really, I mean, it really should be acknowledged. I should get some sort of plaque of some kind. But
for real.
But yeah, look, so that's the next quest, right? To get you verified. I don't know what your issue is. You've been on TV. You've eaten so much food. I mean, I feel like there should be an award of some kind, some reward for that.
One of those two is significant.
You've eaten a lot of food on TV. What do we gotta do? I mean, it's definitely you. Is there an issue with people named with not in their handle? I don't think it matters, right?
You know what? That's the. A lot of people did mention that enough where I'm like, wait, I don't think they're kidding anymore. I think this might be the real reason.
And that's what
why your boy's not verified.
What sucks is that with all these verification things, that they never tell you why they reject you. So when we were getting rejected over and over, and look, kids, any kids are listening who have dreams, and you know how Lady Gaga, after she won her Oscar, she was like, you know, if you work hard and whatever, and it's and the same old stereotypical thing, whatever. But if I would amend that a little bit, that if you get rejected over and over and over and over, that isn't the end of your journey, because look what happened to us. We were getting rejected.
Anyone can make it.
Anyone can make it, all right? I mean, look, we're two idiots doing comedy, trying to figure out
goddamn dummies.
Trying to figure out our way in the world, and we were like, hey, we like soccer, let's talk about it a little bit. And now and really I think it's almost like Twitter done gone and messed up a little bit, because now they gave us the credibility and validation to be like, hey, yeah, you guys are a significant voice in this space. And then and now we're gonna be like, oh, we're a significant voice in this space. Now we're gonna be saying anything. So
yo, now wait till you see how little we use this significant voice status.
All right, it's gonna be wildly irresponsible. Okay.
Oh man, we're gonna use this solely to build our bank accounts.
Nah, man. So on a serious note, for people, I know having a little blue check mark is not the be all end all of anyone's journey, but we genuinely
it is for us.
We're done. Cooligans podcast is over.
We made it.
We beat the final boss. We're good. So yeah. So but we have worked really hard to not just in writing a bunch of dumb jokes and all this other stuff, but we've tried really hard to not only make this podcast entertaining, but make our social media entertaining, and really focus on it every day and being like, hey, what can we do? What can be fun? What could be like a different take on this soccer story that nobody's really talking about? So we do put a lot of effort into it, and getting that blue check mark is a little bit of just like acknowledgement of the work that we have done, and the fact that people engage with us on Twitter, tweet at us and retweet and everything, that it means the world to us, man. It's just like and you guys are for that follow and for that retweet is the reason why we got that damn blue check mark to begin with. So it does
mean it's because of our fans, man.
Yes, thank you so much. So
so from the bottom of our heart, yo, shouts to us for giving you something to tweet at. Yo.
Yo, you couldn't have done it without us. So thank you.
For real. I mean, you're just out here tweeting into the ether without us.
Okay, it's just a void. It's nothingness, man. Nothing makes sense until we got here. So thank you for listening. So this show we do, you know, occasionally we'll do a second show throughout the month for our Gully Squad members. So shout out to them. Now, right, it's not shout outs to us for having Gully Squad members.
Hell yeah.
So soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad if you want to join. You can help support the show, and you can help you're helping make these second episodes throughout the week a thing, and for us to be able to do other content and give you guys exclusive content on our super secret Facebook page that may or may not exist.
We put up that hilarious video from the Atlanta stop of the World Cup comedy tour, and that's only that in that secret Facebook group that may or may not exist.
Exactly.
And only for Gully Squad members. And let me tell you something, it is hilarious.
That's right. That's the one we did with Max Brados. He's in there. So there's that, and there's more things like that to come for our Gully Squad members. So for that exclusive content, go and join the Gully Squad. So we didn't because we were obviously talking about how excited we were about getting verified. This whole show should be about us getting verified, but if you haven't listened to the show before, my name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And we are your favorite stand-up comedians out in New York City that host the funniest soccer podcast that you have ever listened to. But it is not only that, Alexis. What else is it?
Son, you already noticed it's the gulliest soccer podcast in the goddamn world.
Exactly. And that one, now that we have been verified on Twitter, it's the gulliest verification on Twitter. All right. It is a verification. It is a confirmation of how gully this damn soccer podcast is. So things are going to be a little different now going forward. All right. So get ready, everybody. So,
bro, you thought we were gully before. Oh, boy. Wait till we got that blue check. What's that? Confidence, that blue check confidence.
That's right. We got that state sanctioned gully confidence. So things are things are changing. All right.
We're made men. We're made men now.
So today we will be covering all the first round of the CONCACAF Champions League, and there were a couple games this week and that we have to discuss, and we're going to give you guys a fun little some of the games that we're excited about in the cool, a little cool against MLS season preview, because there's I've never been more excited about a Major League Soccer season in my life, man. This is I'm seriously stoked. So let's talk about you know what, we forgot to talk about Toronto in the episode, I believe last week, when they played that the first leg of the game against Independiente, and which they lost 4-0, and they ended up losing the obviously they lost the whole across both legs. So let's start real quick with trying to figure out and how do we feel about Toronto FC. They lost to Independiente, which is a team from Panama, but after watching the game and the second leg, just seeing the reaction on Twitter and across social media about seeing the reaction of like, just, dude, it was 2 years ago they won MLS Cup. Last year they were in what was it? They were in the CONCACAF Champions League, and they're in the final. They were arguably the up until Red Bulls did it last year, the best team in MLS, when had the best points record and everything. So, what in the world? How should we view Toronto? Because now they are looking like the expansion team Toronto, the just a terrible Toronto FC that couldn't really adjust to Major League Soccer.
Well, they were good in CCL and trash in the league. Now, you hope it's the reverse, right? I mean, you hope that I don't know, obviously losing Giovinco is huge and you can see it. And I mean, Terrence Boyd is a good pickup, but I'm not exactly sure that no one's replacing Giovinco. So all right, they're getting Josie back. Josie re-signed with them. That's his last big contract. Michael Bradley, I mean, as good as he is, and certainly he's a leader on the team, is he going to be able at an older age now sort of make up that sort of necessity of theirs that they need? I know they got Osorio. They gave him a big contract. I just don't know that we're going to ever get back to Toronto that, was finishing with 69 points. We see you, player.
Okay.
Right? And was winning, potentially trebles and stuff like that. You're not going to see things like that from them anymore. I don't think so. Yeah, Greg Vanney is such a great coach that you almost also want to be don't fire this guy. You know what I mean?
It's odd given how great they were, and it did feel like there was an upcoming dynasty on our hands, right? A couple injuries, Giovinco and stuff like that. But the fact, I don't know, I still feel like just keep Giovinco. I mean, how whatever he wanted, it was probably worth it. I mean, is this better? Is this the better scenario?
I will say this though. I think why I think you're wrong is you got to go through this little bit of growing pain so that they go out and get somebody big next year. You know what I mean? Or maybe this summer.
Yeah.
They got to struggle a little bit, and the fans have to be a little bit nutty so that everyone could be like, yo, you got to go get a real player. Like, we can't do this. Like, look at what we did when you had Jimmy. Go, like, even if you think back to that CCL run, he was by far their most dangerous player. But you couldn't focus too much on him because that's when guys like Josie and Bradley and Osorio would pick up and they would be able to sort of bat you in the face. Like, remember, like, the old way of, like, all right, well, we'll double cover Jordan and hope the other guys can't beat us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't have Jordan, then you just cover everyone and you're fine. You know what I mean? Like, when yeah. you have... When you get rid of Giovinco and you don't have to worry about him and set pieces aren't as dangerous anymore, when you don't have that, you know, you've sort of brought down the peak of your team. There's less of one person to focus now, and now you can kind of focus your attention elsewhere. And I don't know that they have anyone that can replace that. And Ali Curtis is coming in, who, you know, as far as I'm concerned, completely changed and saved New York Red Bulls. Like, New York Rebels were struggling before, you know, they had the big money. They had the Thierry Henry's and your Rafa Marquez's and your Tim Cahill's before Ali Curtis came in. But he was part of that sort of shift to that sort of system, right? And, yo, we don't need big, 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 huge names. We need a system. And then you fit it in with great players like your BWPs and your, you know, Sasha Kleshin for a little bit and your Dax McCarty's for a little bit, guys like that. Ali Curtis is now the head of Toronto. How long is he going to let this thing keep going the way it's going?
Well, the thing that stands out to me is just like how steep is this drop off? Like, you understand, like, a player has to go, or, you know, you can't, you know, maybe there is a little bit of a transition, but losing 4-0 to you know, a team in Panama is, I mean, look, like, I don't want to speak like, yo, these teams are trash or whatever, but, like, yo, Toronto, I think it was like the budget for the you know, the budget for the team, or, you know, for the salaries for the players and the panel. I think it totaled like $8 million or something like that, and Toronto was like, I don't know, 40 or something like that, or 50 or something. So it's like, at some point, Major League Soccer teams, even, you know, this is not one of the worst MLS soccer teams. These are the Canadian champions, won MLS Cup, months prior. Toronto, even without Giovinco, arguably should always be better than a small team in Panama, right? Like, that's not crazy to suggest.
Well, how did they go from beating the best team in Mexico,
exactly,
arguably the strongest league in North America, to not being able to beat, you know, Independiente? Like,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense, you know, and you can tell that the team is sort of, you know, not in dire straits, but, like, they haven't figured it out. You know, they can't exactly figure out what's happening.
I think
it's all about how they play the league after this. They got to do good.
Well, I think it's ever since, Gregory Vanderweel, fought Greg Vanney. I think the other players have a little tough time maybe respecting the coach. I don't know. Maybe he didn't fight back as well as, you know, we sort of expected or something like that. I don't know. But it seems like something.
Well, you got to go call him, fly him to Toronto, and fight him again.
Okay, you have to fix this, Greg.
Come on, Greg. You want your team to win, bro? You got to knock this dude out.
Okay, and we need to put it on World Star immediately. So look.
Bro, well, let us promote that fight.
We just have Don King wigs on, you know?
Yeah, we get Max Kellerman.
Okay.
I'll tell you something.
Buffers do it, calling the game, calling the fight. So, look, hopefully Toronto figures it out. The season starts soon. Maybe, you know, now they won't have the Champions League to distract them from all the L's they're going to take in the regular season. Hopefully, hopefully not, right? But a bummer. It's just a bummer. See, it's interesting because we're used to MLS teams getting embarrassed usually by Mexican teams. But what's been happening now is like the MLS teams are just embarrassing Mexican teams. It's insane. We'll get to it in a second with Sporting Kansas City. But Houston Dynamo played in the second leg in Guastatoya. They won this game 2-1. Tommy McNamara gets the start. So look at this, man. He does a piece of video with us And then, what, a year later, he is playing a Champions League game? I mean, come on. How much more evidence do you need that the Cooligans are literally, we're the ones moving these chess pieces around?
Bruh, you want to know how we got verified? This is it right here, bruh.
Okay, because we literally, you get the Cooligans bump, and that's it. Your career is set for life, bro.
Oh, wait, did Tommy McNamara start in a continental competition? Yo, shouts to us.
Shouts to us for making that happen, man. Thank you to us for doing that for him.
Also, hey, Christian, thank you.
Yo, Alexis, great work out there making Tommy Mac make sure he gets playing a continental competition in CONCACAF. It's very impressive of you and all the work that you've done.
Well, you know what? You're welcome. And also, thank you for all of the work you've done.
So he was great. It was nice to see him in the lineup playing and see he playing the position that he didn't play for NYCFC since like year one, where he was just he's just top of the box Tommy, right? They have I think they play a 4-2-3-1 or something like that, and Tommy's right in the middle of those midfielders, right behind the striker Manotas, and just they played well, and it was just an entertaining game overall. I feel like Houston in general this year are going to be I just hope they have a better regular season, but we were talking about them last week, I believe, just like this tournament structure is just sort of built for this team. The regular season, they're not as impressed, but when it comes to like winning open cups and winning these tournaments, they're playing pretty well. So they beat Guastatoya from Guatemala, and so I want to go to the next game because I went to this game. This is at Red Bull Arena against Atletico Pantoja of Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. It was very cold at Red Bull Arena. We were at the game last year against Chivas, the Red Bulls against Chivas, and also very cold. It's very difficult to continue to support these CONCACAF Champions League games when they're just so cold. Just midweek in the evening, it's a little brutal. But you know, after my feet thawed, I was excited and happy about the event that I just attended. But the Red Bulls beat Atletico Pantoja 3-0, and they total 5-0 across both legs. But you know what? It didn't matter, because that's not why we were there. That's not why you go and support a Dominican team, because so this is what happened last year when I was in Dominican Republic. I was just hoping that Cibao FC would score a goal. I just want a Dominican
team. You just wanted one reason to get out there and do a little bachata celebration.
That's all I want. Let me do my bachata, bro. What's wrong with that?
Is that so hard to ask?
I'm not even asking for a lot. I just want a little bachata, a little merengue, all right? And I'm out of here. I still have yet to see a Dominican team score a Champions League goal. I've tried twice, but no. Chivas and Red Bulls will not allow it. They are just out there playing good defense, letting not allowing these Dominican teams access to their net, which I believe is grossly unfair.
I'm also a little racist.
Yeah, that's really why I have this platform. I'm verified now, so I'm the Sean King of soccer. All right,
we say what's what.
About to let you know how egregious and ridiculous it was. It's really an injustice that you wouldn't allow them to score. So I am going. I'm writing my Congress person. The best part was how many Dominicans were there to watch the game. The announced attendance, I believe, was something along the lines of like 3,000 something. It was like 3,500 or 3,900 at Red Bull Arena. Not a good number, right? On paper,
not a great one.
Not a great one. This is they seat a lot of people. I think it's like 24,000. So when you have only 3,000 of those of the 20, you can feel like, hey, maybe this isn't the best, and there's a reason to be sad. But I completely disagree. I think when you have a lot of Dominicans in a location, you have to think of it. Each one Dominican is as loud as about four regular human beings. So,
well, just think about every Honda Accord that passes by, and it sounds like an entire parade of bachata or reggaeton music is coming. That's just one car.
Yeah, there was a lot of bass at Red Bull Arena for some reason. No one understood where it was coming from. All right, but it was coming from my hearts. Okay, Dominican hearts got that boom bap. Okay, so
hell yeah, bro.
So that was actually the really cool part. I saw there were a lot of Dominican flags. There were a lot of Dominicans holding them. This is a thing, especially being Dominican and growing up in this country and liking soccer, where that's like already, I'm already a niche Dominican, right? So to be in this group amongst other Dominicans that also love the sport and are you know, getting mad at the players and whatever, getting mad at plays and screaming in Dominican Spanish, I'm like, this is home. I am amongst my people.
Think about how far we've come in 3.5 years. We've gone from, yo, is anyone even going to listen to comedians who are from countries, you know, historically that don't play soccer,
yeah,
to just a verified Dominican hanging out with other Dominicans,
okay,
at a soccer competition where Dominicans are playing against a major MLS team. Come on now.
So yeah, it's like I think I'm one of the four Dominicans on the planet that've been verified. So I think I'm royalty, maybe.
Shouts to us.
So it was dope. It was actually a super super cool experience. I got to hang out with the homies Dave, Yusuf. We had a Dominican contingent, and it was just it was dope. But who else? There were a bunch of other people that had met or had seen around. Odette, remember Odette? She always tweets at us occasionally. She's also Dominican, and she was at the game. Just a bunch of people. I was telling Dave, I was just like, yo, man, I don't do this enough. You know, I mean, not only do I not, it's like hanging out with a bunch of soccer loving Dominicans. That's already like, I think we need to start our own like group chat or Facebook group so that we can stay in touch for the rest of our lives. Because where are we gonna find these people again? So it was dope to just be around. It made me feel like I was in Dominican Republic again. Like it's a thing. I think the last, you know, 10 years doing comedy, traveling, doing all this other stuff, I feel like I've gotten to go to a lot of places I've never been to, meet a lot of different people, but I haven't gotten back to my roots, my Dominican roots. So it was just like, oh, this is just great. It was a genuinely beautiful experience. I loved every single second of it.
And I cannot wait for a Cuban team to make it into SCCL. Because I'm bringing the pastelitos, baby.
One day we'll get there. We'll get there, man. So that was dope. And so who are the Red Bulls playing? Oh, the Red Bulls playing Santos Laguna in the next round. So that's gonna be incredible. So let's talk about Atlanta United, who played against CS Herediano, right? They played them in the first leg, lost 3-1. Atlanta United looked in disarray. They had no idea what was going on. They looked like they never played. They had never trained together. People were like, Frank out, you know. And also, I just got an update on Frank, the coach of Atlanta United. So I didn't say the name totally correctly, because we were saying Frank de Boer. So it's not Boer. It's I think it's Boer. So
Frank
it's
not, de Boer.
Yeah, it's more like that. So it's, instead of Boer, so it's Boer. So, but you still roll the R, but it's more of a U sound, like a U with like the umlaut over it. So
is it the Boer?
Not like that exactly, but the first way you say the boer.
All right, you know what? Can someone just record it?
Okay. And, you know, I'm doing this call over my phone, so I can't. But maybe I can do it on my laptop. So Igor Mortis, who let me see if I can play it. Okay. Oh, I think I can. Okay, great. Let me see if you should be able to hear this. Okay, give me a second. Okay. All right. So I'm gonna. So this is the. I'm playing what he sent me. What he said. So here it is.
Great job on that. That last podcast. You got Frank. Perfect. Now you need to work on de Boer. It's de Boer. Frank de Boer.
Got it.
Frank de Boer.
Yeah. So that's the official way to say it. Anyone who says it otherwise, you are wrong and you will be corrected.
Wait, I got the perfect way to say it. FDB. That's it. That's what we're going with. Okay.
So. So they lose terribly in that first game. Everybody's like concerned about Atlanta United, but in the second leg, they show up. This game is played at Kennesaw State University, not at the Benz, because we all know the monster truck rallies are more important. Hopefully, it's always the big issue with these tournaments, and this is like obviously this is Atlanta United's third year, the new stadium. You know, there's other events that are clearly happening. I'm hoping that there aren't any other schedule conflicts going forward. Hopefully they sorted that out, but who knows? So we'll see. Hopefully there aren't any, like, I don't know if the Ringling Brothers are in town or something like that, but hopefully there's nothing.
Or maybe there's like a wedding show or something.
So hopefully nothing gets in the way of any future. Because it'd be dope to see a CCL match, you know, with 70,000 people there or whatever. Like, you know, hopefully that happens. So, they win this game 4-0. Goals immediately. The game starts with a goal from Joseph Martinez in the first minute from who created the chance? Your boy Brekshe. Brekshe sends a cross in that is mishandled by an Herediano defender. And I mean,
Brekshe came to play, man.
Brekshe, he replaced George Bello, who had a nightmare of a game, you know, in that first leg. But Brekshe is looking like he might be a little bit of a regular, you know, fixture there in the starting lineup. He did play well, and you know, I think the concern always with Breck is he clearly can't be the guy that you rely for goals. If you put a lot of responsibility on him, I think that's when he can sort of buckles, right? And we saw that in Vancouver, we saw that in Orlando, where he's just like he's never meeting the expectations. But I think in Atlanta United, his role is a little bit more diminished, and they're not asking too much of him, but just outside of just being a tall ass dude with dreadlocks to defend pretty well from time to time, put a body on somebody and connect a couple passes, and you know, and he can pass the ball well, he can send some crosses in. So
he had like one really glaringly bad Brekshe moment where he was sort of going at a defender, and instead of going left or right, he just kind of runs into the guy.
Yeah.
But like the ball popped out, and he's such a big dude that the dude fell back, and Brekshe just kind of like, well, all right, well, I'm still standing. I'm just going to go get this ball. It just seemed like a little bit of a calamity. Other than that, he looked pretty great.
He did.
And he's got a lot of footwork for someone who's so physically imposing.
Yeah. And I think Atlanta United fans expect like, all right, he's going to have a couple of good games, but he's a couple times year, this year, he's going to give us a couple, what the hell were we thinking? Why is he here? So
yeah, no, he's going to have a couple howlers, you know, okay, where you're just like, no.
Exactly. But overall, like, you know, I think this is, it's going to, in the end, I think it's going to look like a pretty good move, and definitely something where, you know, they couldn't afford to keep Greg Garza, and there were players that they had to let go. And I think it might actually work out all right for them in the long run. So a quick goal from Joseph Martinez after the ball was in the 6-yard box. Whenever Joseph Martinez has the ball that close, that's it. You can't expect any other thing besides a goal. And then Julian Gressel, also former guest of the Cooligans podcast, just shining, getting his first Champions League, second Champions League goal. With a great goal with an assist from Zico Barco. And he's another dude, Barco, who looked a lot better in this game.
Barco looked good, man. I wonder if FDB is maybe working with him almost exclusively to try to get him to be that starter that he wasn't last year, you know, to be the player that they bought, but he didn't get a chance to really deliver. And there's moments where you could see when he's much more a part of the game, but doesn't have to do everything on his own, doesn't have to all of a sudden break down every defender on his own because it's not going well. When he gets to be a part of the team, he's really good.
Yeah, they're doing. You know, I think the advice of, hey, Barco, why don't you just pass the ball a little bit compared to the first leg? I think
turns out he's good at it.
He's pretty good at it. He should try it out from time to time. Pass the ball to somebody else instead of just dribbling around forever. I was honestly kind of surprised, especially after seeing that first leg. I didn't think Atlanta would be able to come back because they did look like very much in disarray. But I think the differences of Nagby starting the game, having Breck Shea, you know, when you bring in your secret weapon, Breck Shea, I mean, you pretty much got it on lock. And PT looked great. It was just good to see that. Good for them. Honestly, the thing I'm more excited about, the fact that they did win, that their next game is against Monterrey in this tournament against Rayados. So this is, that's going to be a dope game because Monterrey has, I believe, Funes Mori, if I'm not mistaken. Dallas raised, that's right. He has the twin brother. It's not Ramiro because he played for Everton and he's playing La Liga. What's his first name? Rogelio or something like that? Funes Mori.
No, I think isn't the guy in Everton is his brother.
He is, but what's his name? What's his first name? It's Funes Mori. That's they're both Funes Mori, the twins. But I forgot.
Yeah, there's Ramiro and Rogelio.
Rogelio. Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay. So, and he's one of the best strikers in Liga MX. I'm excited about this game. Generally, they're a good team to watch. So real quick, next up, Sporting Kansas City. We got to talk about against Toluca.
Sporting Kansas City looked amazing.
They win this game, the second leg, 2-0, 5-0 aggregate, and completely body Toluca. This is not, we're not used to seeing this in Champions League or whenever MLS teams play Liga MX teams. 5-0. This is crazy embarrassing for a Liga MX team. And there is, there was somebody, I forgot. I saw something on Twitter. Somebody was talking about how, that the pressure is sort of building on Liga MX teams. That now they go in with this absolute expectation to win. The fans are like, you have to beat this American team, because obviously. And
or as you heard, the Gringo team.
This was weird. So during this game, I'm watching it on Univision Deportes, and I hear what the announcers say, El Equipo Gringo, right? And I'm like, so he's saying the Gringo team. And I'm just like, okay, It's weird to say. It's just a little weird to say. I tweeted it and...
You're like, was did my uncle say that or was that on TV?
So it's like some people can... I can understand if they... It could be an offensive term. It's definitely... The context is important. It is definitely used as like an offensive term or even sometimes a slur. It's not... I don't think it's genuinely or generally a slur. But just hearing it in a soccer game and hearing a team... labeled that is like a little strange.
It's not
strange.
A derogatory term, but it can be. So that's why I'm like, yo, they said that on TV. But also like the American fans, when they play Mexico or when they're down there, they call themselves the gringos. The gringos are coming.
Yeah.
So like it's not necessarily a bad thing, right?
No.
But it is quite shocking to hear on a broadcast television.
Yeah, it's like a little I wouldn't even go as far to say unprofessional, but maybe a little like in poor taste a little bit. Like if I was an announcer, I probably would find another word to describe the visiting team. Whatever, you know, I think for me, especially as a comic, I'm like, I think I have a more sensitive ear to like things that seem a little odd to me or whatever, or like, when I'm observing them. But that was like the outside of that. I mean, I forgot that very quickly after like, Herso Fernandez, scores that great goal. But this, in general, just again, we were talking about it in you know, from the first leg. Again, Beisler, Sinovic, everybody just absolutely solid. And then to the point where there's a great video out, there's a great clip of the Toluca fans oleing every single pass from Sporting Kansas City. So the Toluca fans were so done with their own team that they just started supporting Sporting Kansas City.
It's insane. It's like in Rocky when they start chanting for Rocky instead of Drago.
it's crazy. Like again, and incredibly like unprecedented. We're not used to seeing this. We're not used to a team going into Mexico and just straight up dominating. Just they were more comfortable on the ball. Everything seemed to be working out. Toluca was like running around. I mean, they seemed tired by like the first 25 minutes. Great on them. Hopefully Sporting Kansas City can keep things going like this. Like my hope is that this is showing how good Sporting Kansas City are over how bad Toluca are. And I don't know who they play next. I gotta pull that up. But if they do this in one more game, and they look this dominant, there's no reason to say Sporting Kansas City is not winning this whole thing, all right? And who knows if they end up winning the Club World Cup against Real Madrid. I don't know, because that's how good they look.
Anything can happen.
So incredibly entertaining. So let me just pull up the Champions League thing before we go on to what you call it, MLS stuff. So the... also, are there any particular games that you are in MLS that you are excited about, Alexis?
I mean, look, you know, I'm always excited for the beginning of the season. I think it's a lot of fun. I kind of want to see what LA Galaxy bring to the table. I want to see what they look like. It looks like Giuseppe Rossi is going there on potential. He's on trial with them.
With Galaxy or LAFC? Because I heard he's in LA, but I don't know with which team.
I'm pretty sure I think he's training with LAFC, but now that they got rid of Ola Kamara, it just almost makes more sense for him to be going there. I heard that it's still between the two of them. So... I don't know who's going where, you know. I'm excited to see that. I kind of want to see what Colorado looks like. They're playing Portland. Colorado's had so many changes to their lineup. And, I got to imagine that, you have the national team manager. Yeah, it's for New Zealand.
Yeah,
you know,
still counts.
Which I didn't know national teams could be relegated. But, I kind of am excited to see that. I kind of want to see what Chicago looks like against Orlando. And remember, if you send us free gifts... not only will we open it on the show, but we will root for your team, okay?
Okay, we're wishing you all the best to all the people who send us gifts, okay? We'll send out some good juju if you send us some good gifts. So,
oh, hell yeah. Send us some good gifts.
So just to confirm, so Sporting Kansas City is playing against Independiente from Panama. We'll see how that goes, right? That will be a tougher game. They did embarrass Toronto, so hopefully that doesn't happen to Sporting Kansas City, or it might happen to Independiente. So we'll see. Houston is playing against Tigres. That's going to be a good one.
That's a tough one.
Maybe we're going to have to favor Tigres in that one, but we'll see. Maybe Tommy Mack will bang a couple 35-yard goals. We'll see. And then
Tommy Mack gets bought by Tigres.
all shots to us, right? Helping Tommy Mack get to Tigres, right?
Oh, dude. Oh, we get a cut of that. Solidarity payments.
In pizza, okay?
Fine by me.
So Monterrey against Atlanta United and Rebels are playing Santos Laguna. Exciting. Those games happening next week. Those are all on Tuesday. So
it's going to be a big test because Santos Laguna is playing really well, so it's going to be a big test for Red Bulls. I'm excited to see how they handle that versus now that they don't have Tyler Adams, just to see what they look like under some real stress.
Yeah, I mean, the Dominican team, gave them a tough time. I mean, they allowed them to, they had to pass the ball to each other a lot, and so that was tough on them. You know,
good training.
So let's get back to MLS. And so this weekend for me, some of the games I am excited about. You said Chicago's playing NYCFC, not Orlando.
I went a week too far.
Yeah. So LAFC against Sporting Kansas City, genuinely excited about. Especially I started watching the LAFC documentary on ESPN.
So did
Plus.
I.
It's cool. I was having this problem when I saw, I don't know if you saw the Boca Junior Netflix documentary, and it feels a little too much like a commercial for the team. And at least the LAFC one is not exactly like this, but it's definitely, it leans more towards, you know, propaganda than it does an objective look at the team. But it's still pretty entertaining. And the fact that we have a documentary like this on a big platform for an MLS team is just dope to begin with. So it's definitely worth watching. So excited about that. I'm excited about Seattle against Cincinnati. Just we get to see what Cincinnati's going to look like. I mean, I think the concern is that they're just going to get kind of embarrassed by Seattle, and they'll probably have a tough time, but we'll see. I think it'll be good for kind of to see both sides and see sort of where they are.
I'm also excited to see what Caleb Porter's Columbus looks like.
That's right. We outside of preseason, we haven't really seen much. I think it's going to not be too different from Berhalter. For whatever reason, I feel like they are similar to some degree, and even I don't know about coaching style, but in personality, they don't seem too far apart, if that makes any sense. So what was the other game I went into that I so there was a note about Cincinnati that I had heard from Paul Tenorio, I believe. I think first reported, I could be wrong about that, I don't know, but there was a report about FC Cincinnati they were in talks to sign Wesley Snyder. Remember, he played in where did he play in the Premier League? He played in Premier League for a little bit.
He did. I think he played at Manchester United, if I'm not mistaken. But I know he's played for he played for Ajax. He came from the Ajax system, and he played for, I believe, Fenerbahce. I want to say Fenerbahce or Galatasaray.
Yeah, yeah.
For a while.
Yeah, he's. I think that's where he currently is. And you know, I remember he's he obviously plays for Holland and the national team and stuff like that. But I always remember him, and he's like one of these dudes I remember from like FIFA 2006, 2007, like he was just like the old, like one of the best players there. But FC Cincinnati, he's currently 34 years old, but FC Cincinnati were in talks to sign him. And they couldn't sign him because they didn't have enough TAM. And the reason that I'm mentioning that to begin with is because we remember Cincinnati traded for all of like Philadelphia Union's draft picks. They've been like they've been buying draft picks, so they gave away TAM and GAM so that they can get other assets, you know? And
ridiculous.
So they were in a situation where they could probably get a pretty good player, veteran or whatever, and get at least and maybe even sell some extra tickets and stuff like that. And they couldn't because they got all those draft picks from Philly. So it you know, a lot of times, and Paul was mentioning this as well, that the TAM and GAM, there it's not just like an endless amount of money or whatever. Like there's a finite amount of it, and you can't kind of just go all willy nilly on getting you. Like it should be used intelligently and stuff like that. And who knows if Wesley Snyder is going would be a great you know, player still or any of that kind of stuff, but.
You never know if it's the right choice, but you also don't want to be like, oh, we want this player but can't get them because we got all these draft picks.
We ran out of Garbo Bucks. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you, Wesley. But it feels like it wouldn't be such a huge risk to give Wesley Snyder a TAM contract. So the fact that you don't even have this imaginary money to give him is like kind of, I think, a failure on FC Cincinnati in their first year.
100%.
So yeah, we'll see. A couple other games. Obviously, Orlando's playing NYCFC. I'm excited to see what both of these teams look like. There was a City Hall event that NYCFC just had, and I was reading online and what the people who were there, what they thought of it. They got to speak to Claudio Reyna. Well, they first of all during the session itself, the fans in the room were not allowed to ask questions, but they did take questions like online that Ian Joy was reading them and stuff like that. So people got to talk to Claudio Reyna, Brad Sims, who's the new CEO of NYCFC, and Alex Ring. And clearly a lot of the questions were about stadium and all this stuff. But from all accounts, from what I've heard, that the new CEO is very like forthright, and he's willing to take heat and talk to people about their frustration about why NYCFC doesn't have a stadium. So that's at least a bit of a positive sign, and at least a little bit more transparency. Like that's like the one thing I think NYCFC has kind of like dropped the ball on, and just being like, I think the fans would respect if they were just like, yo, it's mad hard to get a stadium out here. Yo, New York politicians, they're rough out here. Like, but there's no, there isn't even really that kind of like sincerity. And I think that would kind of be helpful. And it seems like Brad Timms might be able to like kind of provide that.
Look, at the end of the day, I think no one can be mad at you if you're honest and say, hey, here's XYZ, why that's not happening.
Yeah.
I think it's the silence that just annoys people. You know, it's like, well, we can't figure out whether we should be trying to help or just angry. Is it, you know, is it a lack of trying? Is it a lack of success? Has other things gotten in your way, or are you just bad at your job? Like no one knows, you know?
I think why that would help is because we saw what Columbus did with Save the Crew, right? And we saw how they organized, and we saw how they were at like council hearings and meetings and talking to politicians and doing all this stuff necessary to be able to keep the team. So, you know, even as an NYCFC fan, like part of me feels like, yo, it'd be dope if the team could be like, hey, you know, if we could talk to or if we can get some support and talk to this politician or vote in this particular matter or whatever, like even if there was like that kind of direction of,
right.
of where the support needs to be or where the influence needs to be put, you know, all I'm saying is just, NYCFC, just tell me whose knees to you know, take to swing a bat at. I'm kidding.
Yo, we got you.
No, but it's like, yo, it's not impossible to organize some, like a little bit of activism. And I think it's a thing that a lot of people would gladly be a part of. And frankly, other teams would be support. You know, just how everyone was supportive of Save the Crew, I honestly believe other teams would be like, you know, save NYCFC or you know, get a stadium, whatever. Because all the
I don't think so.
You don't think
I gotta
so?
Be honest. No,
but it's just all the away teams hate playing there. Hate playing at Yankee Stadium. So you can imagine that there would at least be. Maybe not necessarily full outright support, but at least a little bit of just like sympathy in the activism of trying to help get a stadium, because I think NYCFC gets a stadium that is good for the entire league, right? Not just
I agree. Don't think I'm pretty sure the Rebel fans would not be out in arms, you know,
arm in arm, you know, just in front of a courthouse, excited about the decision. So there's obviously on Saturday and Sunday a bunch of games. Champions League is next week. So things just kick off, and they're gonna be wild. So just make sure you watch and have a good time. Enjoy. Yeah. And just a reminder to people listening, if you're listening for the first time, we are stand-up comedians. This is a fun show. We provide a comedy podcast for your soccer needs, right? Because that we know for us, like, that was like the thing that was always missing. So that's like what we wanted to provide. So this is the space we want you to come to, right? You want to watch games, and then you want to laugh throughout the week about it. So let people know if you have a friend that's into soccer, doesn't matter what league, whatever, I promise they will probably be a little bit more of a fan of American soccer after listening to the show. Like,
That's what we do.
I think it's the show is too fun to ignore the sport or ignore MLS or ignore just American soccer in general. So do the right thing. We're trying to, this show doesn't grow without your support. We wouldn't be out here verified. Look, and we're verified now. So everything I'm saying, you could believe, all right? Everything before today was a lie. We were just lying.
It's all lies, dog. We can't lie now, son. All we do is tell the truth.
Okay, all right? All facts, all right? Exclusively. So a couple things that are coming up. First of all, if you're listening to this right now, we have an MLS Cup video that we did while we were in Atlanta. So I think this is a good way to get hype about the year and maybe reminisce a little bit about the final game. The video was great. It was shot by Dave Monsion, who went with us to Atlanta. He edited it as well. A great dude. He's always helped us out with videos and content and stuff like that. He's just absolute, just all class, that dude. So I genuinely want you to watch that, because it's something we're really, really proud of. So watch that. Also, if you are, you probably received this email already, but we have a fantasy league in MLS that you should join immediately. If you're not on our email list, get on it. Go to soccercooligans.com. If you, the link is going to be on social media and stuff like that, on Instagram story. You can find it there as well. So we're going to be giving a prize. I haven't spoken to Alexis about it. I'm trying to think of what the prize should be. I think we should do $100 like we did last time. Is that cool, Alexis?
That was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Let's get that going again.
Okay, so the winner will get $100. So the only thing is the MLS Fantasy League is open to the public, but the winner is the group of the people that are eligible to win are our Gully Squad members. So we want to give them the opportunity for that. So the highest ranking Gully Squad member will receive $100. They'll receive the $100 prize. So join the Gully Squad. You'll be helping the show. You'll be giving yourself an opportunity, to win some money, to play in the MLS Fantasy with a bunch of other really awesome people that are really funny. And that's been my favorite part about Gully Squad in general, that there is it's a community of people that sort of get what we're doing and are fun and funny. kind to each other. They support each other. They support the sport. They support support American soccer.
There's also some good roasting going on in there.
There's a ton of that. You got to expect that. So join the Gully Squad. Go to soccercooligans.com/Gully Squad so you'll be eligible to be able to win the prize in our MLS Fantasy League. But also, if you don't want to join, that's fine too. And you just want to play in MLS Fantasy, do that as well. You can just get on our email list and you'll get the link. And be a part of it. It'll just be dope. So that is it. Anything else you want to add, Alexis?
Nah, man. We're going to be, by the time you're listening to this tonight, we're going to be in Queens hosting the Met Oval Gala.
Oh, yeah. That should be exciting. We did that last year, and we did an auction with Luis Robles. Remember that? That was fun.
Of course. Yeah, man. We got them dudes. We got them rich people spending a lot of money to help the kids. That's
right.
What we do. We'll be doing that. And then don't forget, we're going to be in Rhode Island at the Rhode Island Country Club March 29th.
Is that right? Yes, that's right.
March 29th.
That's a public event that you should go to. Get tickets. You'll be helping support a great organization, Project Goal. Go to projectgoal.org so you can get tickets. And we're going to be hosting that. It's going to be a lot of roasting there. There's going to be a lot of jokes and all for a good cause. So please come to that. That'd be awesome. Anything else? Anything else? No, I think that's it.
That's it, man.
All right. So make sure you watch that Atlanta United MLS Cup video that we did. Go to our YouTube channel and subscribe, please. Today is, you know, obviously we're joking around about being verified and all sort of stuff, but like this week in general has been a monumental week. I mean, and very motivating and very like we're thinking about the future and all the really, really fun stuff that we can maybe make. And yeah, maybe getting a little blue check mark is, yeah, like I said, not the most important thing in the world, but it is that little bit of just sign of validation of just like, oh, what you guys are doing is legit. And keep going and keep moving without your support, we wouldn't be here. So that
100%,
that little blue check mark is as much yours as it is ours. So thank you so much for the support. Thank you so much for listening to the show. My name is Christian Polanco.
My name is Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!